Second to Attack, and third presented by Tylenol, the official pain reliever of the NWSL. We got Jen Beattie, McCall Zerboni in the house, and I'm Darian Jenkins. Well, there is a lot of transfer news. Finally, it is happening. So we're going to get into that, as well as take a preview at match week 12 of the NWSL coming up this weekend and talk about Gotham finally making the long-rumored move over to Queens in 2028. Everybody, thank you so much, whether you're joining on YouTube, as a pod, or on Galazzo Network. Make sure you jump in the comments and let us know what is going on. First things first, Alexia Putellas, after 14 seasons, 2 Ballon d'Ors, 4 Women's Champions League titles, is saying bye to Barcelona and is going to London City. And Jen, you were boots on the ground. You announced the signing, the biggest transfer in women's football, rumored for so long. First of all, how was it? And I mean, what was the moment like with Michelle Kang and Alexia Putellas?
I mean, genuinely, when I got the call last week from our producer saying that that was, obviously it was under embargo, right, the entire time, so I couldn't tell anyone. But I will say it was an absolute honor to be able to announce that moment. Like it was huge. I think how much have we spoken about it, guys? I kind of joked about it in the moment that the rumors had been flying around for months, even before she'd even announced she was leaving Barcelona. We were talking about it at semifinals and the finals of the Champions League. You know, is she leaving? If she is, where is she going to go? It has been such a huge story. So to be able to, I don't know, even be there, announce that moment, it felt big. I will say listening to them both speak was truly amazing. I think Michelle Kang is obviously a phenomenal businesswoman. We've seen her work so much in women's football, and so clearly so articulate, obviously, with also her description of what she wants to build and how to build it. So to be in the room with those two icons and kind of announced that moment, I was like, how have I got this gig? But it was genuinely amazing. And to do it in New York as well, right, where that you know, where the World Cup is happening right now. Obviously it wasn't in London, but it was still so much soccer is happening in New York. That's why she was over here, because she was watching lots of games. But incredible. I think it's, you see the relief with her as well to have it finally out there and use, you know, to be out there. So that felt great for her. And just seeing the excitement of everyone was amazing, and how much it meant to club and player and owner and absolutely everyone. It was amazing. So it was great.
Well, you were the right gal for the job. So
perfect. I know, just added to the aura. McCall, we've talked about Jen. I think your Wi-Fi is a little funky right now, so we're going to pivot a little bit. But Jen or McCall, we talked about this rumor for so long of where is she going to go. We wanted her to come to NWSL potentially, but
can you imagine
if she was signing the NWSL team? Never say never, but London City, in my opinion, just makes sense. Is this, if you know, put yourself in Alexia Putellas' boots, does that seem like the club where you would want to go, especially with Michelle Kang and her vision for what they're meant to be?
I mean, Putellas choosing to go to London City Lioness, for me, is, I commend her bravery that she doesn't want to get stale. She's been at a club for a very long time, and maybe she felt that she capped out there, and so she wanted to challenge herself in a different way. She's familiar with the Spanish league. She is Spanish. She's been playing it for a long time. She's been on Barcelona her entire career, and now she's like, listen, the English league is developing at a rapid rate because of people like Michelle Kang and players from all over the world now going there. And she's like, I want to go challenge myself in a different way. I want to sharpen my tools. I want to get to be the best player I can be before next summer during the World Cup. And it's risky behavior if you think about it, because she's been doing something one way for so long. But the fact that she feels confident enough in herself and brave to move countries, move leagues, and go out there and see what kind of splash she can have, I am bowing down to one of the best players in the world that has a lot of courage. And I can't wait to see her reach new heights and new levels, because she's being challenged in a different way and a different style of play.
Yeah, I love that. I love this comment. It's crazy how huge Alexia is. Like, this is being treated as this monumental moment. Crazy. Kang is very lucky. I think they're both very lucky. This seems like the most strategic but formative partnership. I think looking forward, what Alexia has accomplished with Barcelona, what she's done for women's football globally, and then to pair that with Michelle Kang, who is truly putting true effort and money and resources into women's football, not just in NWSL, but in Ligue 1 and the WSL. And I just think this is signaling to the world that everybody else needs to catch up, because we are seeing Michelle Kang domination, and I absolutely love it. I'm not kidding. We got to interview her yesterday, and I said, Michelle Kang, I say every show when we talk about you, I aspire to be like you when I grow up. But Jen, yesterday you got to talk to them. Was there any, you know, tea, what was going on behind the scenes? Did you hear anything about, you know, what they even plan to do in the future?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's got so much to do with Alexia's decision. I think because a lot of people I've spoken to about this move as well, in just generally speaking, when the rumors have been swirling, you know, why not a Chelsea? Why not an Arsenal? If it is the WSL, why not a more established club, or like what you guys are saying, the NWSL, or, you know, other teams in Champions League? And then it's, well, when she's won everything there is to win, even in Champions League, multiple times, this is a... Is my Wi-Fi better, by the way, before I keep going?
Yeah, it's good.
I think it's the project, and because she's won everything with Barcelona, it is the project. And when you have an owner like Michelle Kang, who is so invested in not just the belief in making women's football, but in terms of research, physical health, the science behind, even the way Michelle Kang was talking about the way that they are building the training ground. She said all this, but she had an architect that had done another training ground that was based around men and what made it different for the women. And they kind of said, let's just do the same thing. No, they went and followed women's teams, see how women work differently, see how women were, you know, physically different, mentally different, psychologically different, all of those things. And there were so many differences that came up, and she'll go into that in her own words, but it's those kind of things that in terms of a project are exactly why Alexia is built into this. And what I will say of tea is what I know you're alluding to, Diane, when you...
Give us the tea.
I just basically... Right, everyone knows there's another big signing that's not being released yet, and we kind of think there'll be another couple for sure. It's obvious to me that if you announce Puteas as one of your first, right, we obviously know Mary Arts was another massive one. That is so early in the summer. It's so early in the transfer window. There's so much time. I have no doubt there is going to be multiple more from this club, and talk about competing in Champions League spots. That is where she wants to get to. She doesn't want to even get to a champ. She wants to win the WSL. Everyone's talking about this being quite a big drop off. It's not. The amount of signings they're going to make this summer, this team will be competing for everything. I genuinely think that everything amongst the top 3-4 at least when it comes to the signings they're making. You know, they got to second division in first year football within a year. Signed really experienced players. Now look who they signed now. They're just going to keep growing and growing. And it's not even about the project. She's still a competitor. She still wants to absolutely win things. And I think she made that so clear that it's not about... It's about both. She wants to win and about the project. So, no, I'm expecting... We all know Mappy Leon has been another massive rumour. We'll see if that happens anytime soon. But I think there might be another couple of surprises potentially that maybe we haven't even caught wind about yet.
Michelle Kang is a wicked good businesswoman. She knows what she's doing. She knows if she goes after a top asset, a very big acquisition, the rest will follow. And that's what she did in Alexia Putellas. And from what we're seeing and what we know, Alexia and Kang want to build together. They want to grow this game together. They want to reach new heights. And I love that about Putellas, is that she went to Barcelona before the Spanish league had all their resources and support and attention. She built Barcelona, stayed there for 14 years, built it up. Then she's like, okay, I feel comfortable leaving it now. It's in a great place. Also, maybe I'm getting a little bored. We had 87 points. The next closest was 72 points in Real Madrid. I'm just dominating. Where else can I go to challenge myself, not only on the pitch, but also to help elevate the women's game? And who else to do it with but Michelle Kang? And they're not messing around. Yanni Thompson, Mary Earps, Cascarino, on Yami, they just keep building and adding, and you know, the rest will follow. So they're just getting started, I think.
I know.
Yeah, there was an interesting comment that came up talking about, you know, there's the 11, you know, here you can see it from Toros 181139. Hopefully London City Lionesses will be a team next year rather than 11 expensive individuals. I don't think that that's how they're moving. You know, when they first started signing players, they signed very experienced players. They kept some of the players that brought them from Division One up to the WSL, or Division Two up to the WSL. And I mean, the signings that they've made, Alexei Puteas, Mary Earps, Kumagai, Gayoro, Vandedonk, Delphine Kaska, Nikita Perez, Aslani's rehabbing from her ACL, Elena Lenari. This is a team that you look at that, and especially with the early signing of Alexei Puteas in the summer, who would not want to go and be part of that team? Mapi Leon is rumored. Salma Peruelo is rumored to go there. This is a team that is there to win, to compete, to win titles. Yeah. And I cannot wait. You guys know I've been high on the London City train since they came into the WSL. They placed sixth last season, Jen. When you look at what this team is doing, who they're acquiring, who they could potentially acquire moving forward, how do you think they're going to fare in that title race in the WSL?
I think they're absolutely going to push for Champions League. I think we even saw this season Champions League go pretty much down to the wire when it came to Chelsea and Arsenal. Teams were still moving to break into that top three. Obviously, Man United struggled a little bit with the balance of being in Champions League, so then they dropped out. But I think, look, regardless of where, I think London City Lionesses even did very well last season, finishing mid-table. With who they're signing and who they're rumoured to continue to sign, I think they can absolutely compete for Champions League. And I don't know who will drop out. That would be my only question, if they even qualify or not. But I absolutely think that it will be a tight run. It won't be, you know, plain sailing for any top three teams to go and get that qualification spot. It will go down to the end of the season. But that's why it's, to use Michelle Kang's word, it's the most competitive European league. Because that's the way it is, and that's the way it's been for a fair few seasons now. Everyone's trying to compete for those top three spots, so it's really hard to call. Do I think they can do it? Yes. Who do I think would drop out? I have no idea, but do I think it will come down to absolute small margins? Yes, and go down to the wire.
Okay, last thing before we move on. We know we love Michelle Kang, we love Alexei Puteas, and Hannah and I got to interview them yesterday. The aura that they give off. Jen, what was it like in person? Because they're both just calm, cool, collected-ish together. What was it like?
Genuinely amazing. Like Michelle Kang, for someone who is so successful and so intelligent, but also be so personable and so easy to talk to. I couldn't believe it. I felt like I was I don't know, in another world, to be honest. I didn't think she was going to be like that. I'd obviously heard amazing things, but I for someone to be able to carry all of those characteristics, I just have the utmost respect for. And again, listening to her speak, I felt like when I was on stage asking questions, I kind of forgot what my next questions were, because I was so hung up on what she was saying, because it was so interesting. And I knew I was tight for time, but I wanted to follow up on absolutely everything, because I wanted to pick her brain more about what she was doing and the actual ins and outs of behind the scenes, because that's what I find so interesting. Because everyone can say, yeah, I want to grow the game, I want women's football to be the biggest thing, and we're going to do it differently. I'm always like, yeah, but what are you going to do? And the way she was answering those questions was so cool, and I just wanted to follow up on absolutely everything. But then even behind the scenes, she was the exact same. She was quite happy to chat about everything, and I love that. When people are the exact same on and off camera, that is Michelle Kang, phenomenal. And Alexia Puteas as well. And for everything that she's done in the game, and I will never know what that is like to be in that level of spotlight, of when all eyes are on you, the amount of interviews, the amount of media, but she still had the energy for absolutely everyone. And she's, you know what I didn't know? She's funny.
I love funny kids.
Hey, she was giving the thumbs up. We filmed it'll be on TikTok and at some point, and bless her, she was she was like, yeah, I like TikTok. I scroll, but I don't make them. And I was like, mate, I've got you. Like,
I've got a whole Rolodex.
Yeah, just go with it. And she was really funny, like genuinely making jokes. Like even at the end on stage when everything was done and we brought out the London City Lioness shirt to kind of make it official, she kind of turned to me. She was like, mate, is this not, you can't do this. You're Arsenal. And like kind of made a joke. And I was like, oh, she's
cheeky.
Banter. All right.
But yeah, and then behind the scene, exact same. That level of spotlight, the amount of work she had to do on the day, I'll never know the intensity of that. All eyes on you, and just so down to earth, really, really funny. So shout out, Alexia. She's top. Larina for a reason.
Yeah.
She truly is. Yeah.
Jen, that's awesome. I wish we could have seen it. I heard you crushed it. Of course, knew you crushed it. But maybe we'll see some more clips, hopefully. And I can't wait to see the TikToks.
Just keep an eye on the socials, everyone.
Of course. Well, let's move on to some other big transfer news. And Jen, Arsenal, racking up some other players. Georgia Stanway also had the dopest drop for signing to Arsenal. The tattoo.
Straight in there.
She comes on a free transfer coming from Bayern Munich. She's back in the WSL. How big of a move is this for her? And do you feel like this just makes sense for where she is in her career and what Arsenal's trying to accomplish?
I think it absolutely does. I think, you know, credit to her for making the leap out of England and going to Bayern Munich and becoming the mature player that she is now. I think that's every reason why everyone goes to play abroad is to, you know how that feels when you go and play abroad. It's to learn a different culture, gain experience, be well out of your comfort zone. And I always admire players that do that massively. But for Stanway at this point, I think to win 2 Euros back-to-back, I think you see a lot of the Lionesses coming back to play in England because part of their career, that's the most competitive league in Europe from top to bottom. And I think to go back and be in London and be in an incredible market as well, in a midfield with, we're talking about Caldente, Frida Manum, Kim Little, that is going to be a really competitive midfield next season, which I think is brilliant. And I think for herself specifically, a very physical player, more of a box-to-box player, almost similar to Frida Manum in a way, like loves to take a long-range shot, gets goals a lot in a huge sense in that way. So it'll be really interesting to see how Renee Slagers manages that midfield and where she's built in. But like I continue to say, it doesn't matter about who's in the starting 11. You need a roster that is going to compete every single week in Champions League. For me, there's not an out-and-out midfield three or a front three. It's about having a very strong 22 that you need to rotate and you need to compete across 3-4 different competitions. So I think she's a great signing. She's very consistent. That's what I love about her. Mm-hmm. And physically, she's very different to what a Caldente will bring you. So in terms of versatility, spot on.
Also a sick tattoo artist. But McCall, in other news, Jenna Neiswanger also is going back to Arsenal. And you've played with her. You've seen her evolution as a player. What do you make of this move? And do you think this is it? Is she's going to remain with them?
I mean, for me, it looks like Arsenal is actually making sense of their roles and their positions now. Even Georgia Stanway joining Arsenal makes a lot of sense to me because I think she brings different attributes than the players that are already there in that midfield. So she'll kind of put that wrinkle that complements the rest around her. And just for Stanway to finish on that point too, this makes a lot of sense for her to prepare for the World Cup next summer. Now she's in her home grounds back in England. It's easier for her to get to camps. She's playing with a lot of her English teammates. And so for me, it's the perfect time for her to come back and be countryside leading into one of the biggest tournaments in the world. And then Jenna, I mean, as soon as McCabe left, I was like, all right, hopefully, Jenna goes back. Now that space is open for her. And I think she's probably grown and learned a lot from, having a rough start at Arsenal for her first season and then, going on intra-league transfer and getting some minutes and some experience there. And I think that she'll come back and she'll be even better than she was when she left Gotham 2 years ago because she's grown as an individual and as a player. And I'm really excited to see the opportunity that she's going to get because I really do think Jenna Neiswanger is a wonderful left back, no matter which league you put her in which country. I think she'll have an effect. And my biggest hope is that she starts balling out, gets herself back, and then starts getting called back into our national team again, just in time to make the World Cup tournaments. So,
yeah, No, that makes a lot of sense. I hope she gets some lucrative minutes with Arsenal, especially with that left back position being much more vacant than it was with Katie McCabe there. One more transfer we're going to talk about is Johanna Kanderlied from Chelsea is going to Lyon. She's going in there with some of our fellow Americans. Lyon always remaining stacked. Michelle King making the moves that everybody else wishes they could make. So can't wait to see them and how they perform in Ligue 1 as well as Champions League. All right, everybody. Well, we're going to take a quick break and we're coming back stateside. We are talking about the NWSL next. Welcome back to Attacking Third. All right, it is match week 12 in the NWSL. I actually don't know where I am in time in the world because of the World Cup. I feel really thrown off.
The only thing I knew is that yesterday was the worst day of my life in like 23 days straight because I'm like, no game.
Retweet.
Right, I'm like, what do I do with myself? But NWSL is back, so that's going to keep us entertained in the meantime. And we love talking about our girls. And one of the big matches is North Carolina versus Washington Spirit. Courage are on a 4-game win streak. They've scored 11 goals and only conceded 3. Ashley Sanchez continues to score braces and bangers and truly lead this team in the front. EJ is coming to life, but the Washington Spirit just look so lethal. Trinity Rodman also coming off of a brace from last weekend's games. McCall, when you're looking at this matchup for the Courage, is this the best test that they could face right now, pretty much in the middle of the season?
They're rolling. Courage is the only team in the league right now that is unbeaten in their last 4 games. And if you would have asked me 4 weeks ago before the break, if that would have been the case right here, right now, moving into mid-July, I would have never thought that. But they are really starting to get their feet underneath them, connecting and gelling with what's being asked of them of new head coach Mack Lind. And, you know, even losing one of their best midfield wizards to Chelsea, they still got a result done. And earlier in the season, I would have been like, Spirit's got this one. But now I'm very anxious to see this matchup, and I think it's going to be quite interesting.
Mm. Lots of goals or a tight game?
I think it's going to be like a 2-2 kind of dealio.
Ooh. Two braces again for Sanchez. A brace each.
Could you imagine?
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. Right. I think Rodman, you know what is so impressive about Rodman is despite injury, she still manages to come back and look incredible. Mm-hmm. I can't emphasize how hard that is when you've had little niggles or longer term injuries. Credit to her, the work she must be doing off the pitch to come back in the form she's in. I don't know if it's a mentality for me.
It is. But the thing that scares me is like just when she starts to feel good, she overdoes it. She's
for her like growth in the game, I think, is next.
You know, and so they really need to manage her because if something happens, you know, at the beginning of next year, right when we need her the most, or even just for on a club perspective level, you know, leading into playoffs and then all of a sudden, you know, she's overtrained and overdid it. And so they need to be mindful because, you know, every player wants to play, especially in the female game. We could be in so much pain and we're still like, we want to play. Whereas men are kind of like, I got a niggle, it hurts. We're like,
I hurt my ankle.
Keep it together. If it will function and I can run, put me out there. Yeah. And so we always are, you know, bartering and trading with the trainers, like, please let me play. So I hope that she has good medical advice and they're handling her well because when she's good, she is so fun to watch.
She looks like vintage Trinity Rodman. Like, this is the really fiery, fearless 1v1. I'm going to take a shot from anywhere. I'm going to be falling and still take the shot and still score it. She has that inevitability factor back. And, McCall, I think credit to her being healthy and staying confident. And honestly, I really think that she probably has just grown up a lot from that injury. That's where you truly learn. We all know we've all had serious injuries. You learn how to take care of yourself, you know, how hard to push your body. And I think we're seeing that. We're seeing the results of that. So I can't wait to see her play this weekend against the Courage. But Jen, when we were talking about Ashley Sanchez, yes, they're both coming off of braces, but Ashley, this is probably her best season in the NWSL, and we're only at week 12. Do you think if you're Emma Hayes, and I know, you know, where it's kind of crunch time looking at next summer, Women's World Cup in Brazil, do you give her a look finally after being out of camp for so long?
Yeah, I think so. I think any manager, I think we can all say from an outsider's perspective that maybe, you know, the roster is narrowing and it's getting more specific to the World Cup, but we're still a long time out. And at the end of the day, if a player is on form, they will get called up or put every thought in the manager's mind to call them up. And I think when you are scoring consistently, especially for a forward in this league, we all know how hard that is. It's the hardest thing to do to score goals. So I think she is 100% putting the thought in there for Emma Hayes for a call-up. Obviously, that comes down to Emma Hayes and what she needs. You know, the US front line with everyone coming back into full fit. That's a really, really competitive roster already to get a call-up. So it's up to the manager whether, you know, they think they... it's clearly not a necessity that they need more of, but when someone deserves a chance, I absolutely think that it's well deserved. So we'll see, but I would not be surprised if we see it happen for the next camp.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, speaking from experience, it took me 9 years to get my first call up. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, even when you think you do deserve it, you just can't focus on that. You just got to keep doing what you do and, you know, tune the fans out that, you know, every time you see him, gosh, you should be on the national team. You know, these things, she just needs to stay in her flow. Obviously she is in her performance flow for sure. And sometimes it's just the manager. Like for example, Jill was the coach for, you know, the 8-9 years that I was not getting the call up. And then eventually she did. And sometimes it's about, you know, the manager doesn't see where you'd fit into their system. You know, Emma plays a certain system. And so we need to honestly ask ourselves, if Sanchez was in the mix, where would you put her? Mm-hmm. Who would she play over?
Exactly.
Yeah. What assets does she bring that we don't already have? Yes, she's performing very well on the club level, but is she a 7-11? Okay, well, does that fit into the system, her style of play, how she likes to cut in and narrow in? Because we need width in the style that we play, and because she'll crowd the space for our players like Jaden Shaw and Rose Lavelle. And so you really need to look at it tactically and technically of what the player brings and understand that Emma has her reason. She's not trying to do it to spite Ashley Sanchez or anything like that. I genuinely think she's trying to see how much more she can show and bring to the game or where she would slide her in.
I actually think Ash would really fit in the 7-11. She offers something really different from an Alyssa Thompson, Trinity Rodman. Even Jaden Shaw fights for playing time when she's in the 9 or the 10. And she likes to drift in the middle as well if she is playing 7 or 11. So, McCall, I totally hear you. I agree. But I actually think with the versatility Emma Hayes has proven this team has, where I honestly feel like the U.S. for so long was really structured in each role and how the team is playing, there's so much more fluidity. It's just if you're in form and effective. But we'll see. But McCall, you said 2-2 for score prediction for this, right?
Yep.
Jen?
I'm going 3-1 Spirit. I've been impressed by both, but I think Spirit's front four are incredible.
You do?
Yeah, I do. I when I've watched their patterns of play and their movement and variety of goals that they score, like different ways of scoring, I think they're
more so than anybody else
in this fixture. Yeah.
Okay. I just meant like at a league-wide whole.
Oh no, I would talk about San Diego Wave all day from an attack.
Even without Dujinha, we can get to that. But
yeah, we're gonna get to that.
We'll get to that.
I think we're gonna go. Oh, love the courage. I'm going to go 2-1 Washington Spirit. I also have the faith in Spirit how they're playing right now. They're lethal. What can I say? They're lethal. But thank you for the segue, McCall. San Diego, Angel City are also pairing off, both coming off of very dominating wins in their fixtures from last week in match week 11. California Derby, pressure on both of these teams, but much needed wins, especially coming out of that break, I think was massive for both of these sides. McCall, when you look at these two teams and the momentum they have, San Diego, yes, without Dujinha, but they have a lot of stars on their team and a lot of younger, hungry players that are really ready to kind of make their mark with San Diego against an Angel City who still don't know what's going on, but they're scoring goals. They're on the front foot. They look aggressive. I mean, what kind of match do you think we're going to see with these two rivals?
I think just naturally this match is going to light up because it's kind of the clashes of California, Southern California, you know, fans will, it's within a distance where they can drive to the stadium. It's not too far away. So, you know, it's going to be a mixed effort of noise in the crowd. And San Diego just looked so good against Gotham. I mean, I mentioned this earlier before, they made Gotham look like a bottom of the table team. And what I loved about them is they were going forward so quickly, taking risks, being brave, taking chances on goal, which kept Gotham on their heels for the entire match. And I truly think that, you know, sometimes the vacancy of a player makes room for other players to shine and roam and create and do their thing. And, you know, losing Jujinha was a concern for sure. I thought she was their best player for the first half of the season, but now that she's gone, others have to step up, but also have more space to roam in and create, like I said. So, you know, we've seen that with Set Noor and other players in the past where all of a sudden the dynamic up changes and other players turn it up. So, and to think that they don't even have Makari on the pitch yet, I'm just like,
right. Which is, I have so many questions of when are we going to see her?
What's going on? There's something not great there.
Yeah, I hope that she's okay because it's such a big signing. It was a massive move. She's home. She's back in California. And I think San Diego could really, really use that depth and experience. Even though they're top of the table, they're great. Don't get me wrong. When you have a player like her, you want her involved and on the pitch.
For sure. But that's been a long time since signing. And it's getting to a point where it's getting a little bit confusing about what's going on.
Would you imagine a world where we don't see her at all this season?
I have no idea. I don't think nothing is, it's so hard to presume what goes on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
I think you know, at this point you wait to see if someone's back in training or an update on an injury or, you know, making a roster eventually. So it's, you feel for her because that has been, you know, a really tough time moving clubs and obviously injured while, you know, assuming injured while coming here if I haven't made an appearance yet. So, but I think the lack of information is a struggle, right? Because nobody knows. And that's the key thing. So it's, you know, on this side of things, you're waiting for that update and it's not happened. So I can genuinely know as much as everyone. It's so hard to even discuss it really because there's been lack of information.
I will say one positive thing about it. I commend the medical team and everyone involved because people's HIPAA medical situations are not anybody else's business. And the fact that nobody knows, they've done a very good job protecting her, you know, personal safety and private information. And I appreciate that from the whole San Diego club and everyone involved. Because obviously if she doesn't want people to know, then she's not ready to say, or she's dealing with something privately. So that's a positive.
Yeah, well, we hope that everything is okay with her. A player that is back from injuries, healthy, is Svendis Jonsdottir with Angel City. She gets on the score sheet again last week, starts her role once again, and she's truly such a threat. And I think the way the Angel City are playing, they're very forward. They're aggressive. I think their counter press is better than we saw in the first half of the season. I don't know. You know, some teams this break was really great for them. Some teams it wasn't so good. But Angel City seems to have worked out. And I think that they're going to make the game a little bit messy because of the quality that San Diego has, that they're not going to enjoy the ball as much as San Diego would. So why not knock it to them and just be in their faces, make the game ugly, be on the front foot, be ultra aggressive in the attack. But when we're looking at this matchup, McCall, especially with Jonsdottir back, how much of a boost is she for the team in how confident they can be against beating a San Diego side?
Well, she's the perfect example of, you know, coming to the NWSL is not easy for players that have been playing in other leagues. It's just a different animal, the pace, the power, the tempo, the physicality, the fitness that's required, how quickly you have to think. And so when she joined last summer, she was just getting her feet wet. We saw little glimpses of what she could do. And then, you know, now she got familiar with all those things I just listed before. She spent the offseason training well and getting ready for the season. And she came out so hot carrying this Angel City side. Now I'm obsessed with the fact that Set Noor is there with her because I think they're going to complement each other so well. That's exactly the kind of player that Jonsdottir needed. So she can stay high, stretch the line, keep running in behind and threatening the back line. Set Noor can have the ability to dribble and roam in that seam two pocket in front of the back line that will pull them apart. And then all of a sudden those two are yin and yanging. And then you got Endo in there. I mean, I just,
love June Endo.
That whole Setnor move makes so much sense to me. I think this is going to be her home for a very long time, especially if she's working up top with Jonsdottir.
All right. Quick score predictions. McCall, what's yours?
1-1.
I was going to say, you love a draw.
I know, but like, honestly, there were so many goals last weekend. I'm like, so nobody's defending, bro.
Maybe this week, though, it's all guests.
Yeah, they're going to tighten it up. Everyone's going to tighten it up. They're like, wow.
That's actually a really good point. Like, there were a lot of goals last week, and everyone will be trying to tighten it up. I loved San Diego's. I think it was Darian that you said counterpress.
I think Angel City's counterpress is like on fleek.
I think one, like, Sarah Gordon's just so good at those quick recoveries, and what San Diego Wave were so good at was the counterpress, and against Gotham they caught them a few times in the back line, and I just think Sarah Gordon has got the pace to.
It's also such a different strategy playing Gotham versus, you know.
So true. I think this game will be much more open, and I think there's still going to be a lot of goals. I'm going for 3-2 to San Diego.
Well, you took mine.
Did we have more goal galore?
Yep. I think it's going to be crazy. When there's a derby and you know, you're repping your home state, you got some shit to talk. Like, this is the time where you just go out and ball. And I think both of these teams are hungry to do that. So, yeah, I also agree. I think 3-2 San Diego. I'm rocking with the wave. I'm sorry. Another big matchup, Orlando Pride and Casey Curran. Casey Curran coming off a dominating win over Denver. I got to call that game. And second half, they finally figured it out. And that is the first time I've seen Denver look like this was their first year in the NWSL. But on the other side, the Orlando Pride matchup, Pride are still struggling.
Yeah.
Still really struggling. I mean, very different trajectories in regards to momentum, but can Orlando handle Kansas City and, you know, the 45 minutes that they put in against Denver? If that's the team that shows up in this match, do you think Orlando can handle it, Jen?
Do I think they can handle it? No, I think Croy Bethune is just coming in, getting better and better and growing so much into this season that I'm going for KC on this one. I think without Banda, Orlando just really lack that stretch up top and really struggle to pose much of a threat, to be honest. So I'm still sticking with KC on this one. I'm going to say comfortable 2-0 KC.
Me too. I also think 2-1. I had that in my head already.
I say at least 2-0, especially Davinia's back. I think that'll be a huge factor because surprisingly Orlando's defending since losing Kylie and Emily, which I think Rafaela is so good, but they just cannot get organized defensively. And then when you don't have Banda on the pitch, someone who can score at will, you're really down 2-0 on both sides of the pitch. And especially Dabinia's in there kind of causing chaos and being creative. I think it's going to be really hard for Pride to win this game.
Yeah, they're going to have to adjust tactically, I think, with this Kansas City current side, as many teams do. And last match we're taking a peek at is Utah Royals versus Gotham. First things first, Sam Kerr, though. She's officially in training with Gotham. Maybe she will add to the goal scoring woes that McCall, sorry, even when you were there, we were talking about why are there not more goals? What is going on? It almost feels like a mental block with Gotham as to why they're not scoring enough. And I think the loss last week is going to weigh heavy on their minds. When you look at this matchup, McCall, do you think Gotham can take it to Utah?
Oh, I've been thinking a lot about this, obviously.
the deep breath.
Yeah, I know. Well, Gotham's just not scoring as much as you would expect with the roster and the front line and the deadly weapons and creators that they have in the attack. And in their last five matches across all competitions, they've scored 4 goals, and one of them was a penalty. So for me, their flow and effect towards goal and the run of play is not there right now. And I mean, they're not even averaging one goal a game, which is a sticking point for their roster and ability. Nask, you throw Sam Kerr the wrinkle in there, but it's a wrinkle. It could take a minute to also get that flow, or it could completely lift the top off and just open up goals. So we'll see how many minutes she can get. You know, think about this. You're like, oh, I've been marking a stare all game, and oh, thank God she's subbing off. But no, Sam Kerr is subbing on for her. Like, that's crazy.
I mean, the beauty of Sam Kerr is she does not need to sit. Like, she knows this league inside out and was still so successful in the WSL as well. I don't think she needs time to settle, to be honest. And also, even when she's come back from injuries for Chelsea recently, she was still scoring goals. Like, she's, you know, for even not having the same amount of minutes that she was used to, she's still, in true striker, knew where the back of the net is and knows how to find it. So I wouldn't be surprised but just great to see her full on and getting training anyway and back in the mix. And I really hope we see her get some minutes for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sam Kerr, it doesn't need to be the perfect ball in the perfect place at the perfect weight. You just need to give it to her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. She's one of those inevitable players. So we're looking at this Utah coming off of like one of the craziest games I think we've watched. They lost to Chicago last week, which credit to Chicago. Break did them well. I think we saw a lot of adjustments for them moving forward that they've needed to make. We finally got Heidema scoring some goals in places where she's actually thriving that fit her skill set. Who do we think has this game on lock? Both coming off of losses.
Yeah.
Utah did score some goals. That hasn't been their issue this season, but they have showed vulnerabilities defensively. McCall, who do you got and what's your score prediction?
Well, I've been avidly checking the availability report because I do think missing Cronin, Tanaka, and Real is huge for Utah. Yeah. I think those are probably their three highest performers, arguably with Delfava and maybe a couple other players. So I don't think people realize three major players are missing. And I think that's why they didn't perform as well as we would expect them to last match against Chicago. So still checking by tonight. I think they'll have to turn it in with who's healthy and who's not. Mm-hmm. If they're not, I think this could be a much more even matchup. In fact, I would think even Gotham might grab this 1-0.
Mm. Oh,
yeah.
Low scoring.
She still thinks the defense are tightening up. I think Gotham need a bounce back massively. And I think when you've had a big test, like the Wave and conceding goals in the way they did, I feel like they're going to have I hope they'll have the up in performance more so than Utah. So I'm going for a narrow win again, but a narrow win for Gotham. 1-0 as well.
I'm going 2-1 Gotham as well. Sorry, Utah. Well, everybody, we're going to talk about Gotham, though, because big moves. They are moving to Queens, finally. So we're going to talk about that next. Stick with us after this quick break. Welcome back to Attacking Third, presented by Tylenol, the official pain reliever of the NWSL. All right, everybody, Gotham is moving to Queens. Huge announcement. We'd known for a while that this has been in the works. There's been rumors. We speculated last season. We've been calling for it to happen. And finally, it's there. The two-time NWSL champions are going to play at NYCFC's new stadium, Etihad Park, in Queens, beginning in 2028. Now, when you guys first heard this, McCall, because you've played a Gotham, you've been part of the foundation, not only of the NWSL, but that club and what they've built and the champions that we know them of as now. How excited are you that they're finally going to make that move and have a legitimate stadium and dedicated space for them, their own locker room? Like, how much does that mean to you?
It's truly wonderful. But I mean, learning that Gotham is moving to Queens is pretty surprising, if I'm honest, because it feels like just yesterday in 2021 that they moved to North Jersey. So they already went through a major shift and a major move from Downrucker, South Jersey to North Jersey and moving into what was originally Red Bull Arena. And then here we are 5 years later, and now they're making another major move. So what that says to me is how much they've grown and it's signs of how financially comfortable and confident they are and how much they've been able to accomplish on the field and in the front office and, you know, with owners and sponsors and just the branding of the game and their game and their team in the New York area where they're moving to Queens. It's massive, you guys. Like, the Yankees are in the Bronx. The Mets are in Queens. The Garden is the Knicks and the Rangers hockey. U.S. Open's in Queens. The only people left are the Jets and the Giants in New Jersey. And so for me, I do feel a little bit bad for the supporters, like the original supporters that built it and really held it down in Jersey. But there's good trains and buses and ways to get there. And
people from New York have been doing it for many years.
Yeah. So it's not like they're going away. They're just going a little farther away.
Just for the games, the training facility, which was recently announced and still going to be in New Jersey.
Right. So this is where my next point comes in is I'm like, okay, well, where are the players going to live? How far do they have to commute to training? There's a little bit of concerns logistically wise from a player perspective that might be a little bit more a headache for them or, you know, now they all might have to move and, you know, figure out a different way to commute to training. And now these, you know, visiting teams are going to fly into LGA and JFK instead of EWR. And there's just things like that that are going to shift, but they've already thought about all this and it's going to be great.
Yeah, I think from a player perspective, though, you always live near the training ground. I feel like that's super common in big city teams where the training facilities are always outside of the city because you can't physically fit them in. And then the stadiums are where the biggest market is. It's the same in London. London has similarities to New York in terms of where all the training grounds are, but the stadiums are in the city. As a player, you live near the training ground. No, I think it's obviously a shift for fans, which you're always going to feel for the fans. But in terms of having a bigger market, I think it's 3 million people that are in a 75-minute commute to the stadium now. So just that increase, it's all about growth. And I think that for me is what it's about. I think it's a great move for them. It's clearly, you know, another positive in the right direction. And it's a great stadium when it eventually is ready for them. And in terms of match day experience for the fans, it's eventually going to be such a huge positive for absolutely everyone. So it was great to see it announced. Great to see the mayor involved as well. Love him. So yeah, huge positive.
Yeah, I people from Pennsylvania, Philly, all those, they drive to the games. Like it's not just, you know, the tri-state area loves Gotham. And so it's farther now for sure.
Yeah, it's farther, and I definitely understand and can feel, you know, how upset the hometown fans are because they have been following and supporting this club for so many years. Sure. And I would just encourage people that they're going where they're wanted. They're going where it's going to be professional, where they have a dedicated space specifically for these players, not a makeshift locker room, their own locker room. You know, it's going to actually feel professional. And I just know, looking at how the stadium is going to be built, how they're integrating Gotham, the amount of fans, the 25,000 capacity venue, what this can mean for fan experience is going to, I think, really make up for a really big move that I know is an adjustment for people, but it's truly for the growth of where Gotham, and I think the NWSL is looking to go. These players deserve spaces that are professionalized, that are dedicated to them. Then I think that's what I'm really excited about is this. The NWSL has come so far, and this is still a requirement that needs to be leveled up on for specific teams.
Yeah, there is nothing taking away from if you are a New Jersey fan that has been following your team the entire time. I absolutely completely get I would be absolutely gutted if that was me as well. When it's close and it's your team and you're invested and you have physically invested, financially invested, everything, but I would just encourage, stick with your team. You know, they're growing exactly to all your points, Darian, in the right direction, so stick with it.
Yeah, just a reminder to, you know, all the New York, New Jersey fans specifically, I know the adjustment is hard, but this is a better thing for the players.
Yeah.
And all around, even the visiting team, the traveling team, now they get to stay in a hotel in New York City, be around more things. Promotions will escalate. Sponsors will escalate because now they're, you know, in the heart of it all. So this in turn will be a really good thing that the players deserve. So hang in there.
Yeah, hang in there. We always want the best for the players. I love this comment. Once a bat, always a bat. Everybody, yeah, yeah. This has been Attacking the Third. We appreciate you guys so much for tuning in, whether you're on GolazzoNet, listening as a podcast, or with us live on YouTube. And we appreciate all the comments, score predictions, and happy vibes. Attacking the Third will be back this Sunday at 9 p.m. after Denver Summit and Houston Dash, and reactions, analysis, and of course, our team of the week. From Jen, McCall, Phil, and Audrey, I'm Darian. This is Attacking Third. Podcasts.